She must never forget that fact. It was as if she was on an open stage, her every action being monitored and recorded and analyzed by expert observers from the future, taking notes all around her just out of the light. She couldn't conceal her actions, so she had to make it look like a crime of passion. She knew she even had to pretend she was unaware of the future scrutiny itself. If it looked like an act, it wouldn't convince anybody. So she kept doing all the private, natural things everybody did, farting and picking her nose and masturbating, trying to show no more awareness of scrutiny than anybody else in this glass-walled age. She had to gather information, of course, but it was possible to conceal even that in the open, too. Hiram and Bobby were, after all, two of the most famous people on the planet. She could appear not an obsessive stalker, but a lonely widow, comforted by TV shows about famous people's lives. After a time, she thought she found a way to reach them. It meant a new career. But again, it was nothing unusual. This was an age of paranoia, of watchfulness. Personal security had become common, a booming industry, an attractive career for valid reasons for many people. She began to exercise, to strengthen her body, to train her mind. She took jobs elsewhere, guarding people and their property, unconnected with Hiram and his empire. She wrote nothing down, said nothing aloud. As she slowly changed the trajectory of her life, she tried to make each incremental step seem natural, driven by a logic of its own, as if she was almost by accident drifting toward Hiram and Bobby. And meanwhile, she watched Bobby over and over through his gilded boyhood to his growth into a man. He was Hiram's monster, but he was a beautiful creature, and she came to feel she knew him. She was going to destroy him, but as she spent her waking hours with Bobby, against her will, he was lodging in her heart, in the hollow places there. 25. Refugees. Bobby and Kate, seeking Mary, made their cautious way along Oxford Street. 3 years ago, soon after delivering the pair of them to a refugee cell, Mary had disappeared out of their lives. That wasn't so unusual. The loose network of refugees, spread worldwide, worked on the cell organization basis of the old terrorist groups. But recently, concerned he'd had no news of his half-sister for many months, Bobby had tracked her down to London, and today, he had been assured, he would meet her. The London sky overhead was a gray, smoggy lid, threatening rain. It was a summer's day, but neither hot nor cold, an irritating urban nothingness. Bobby felt annoyingly hot inside his smart shroud, which, of course, had to be kept sealed up at all times. Bobby and Kate slid with smooth, unremarkable steps from group to group. With practiced skill, they would join a transient crowd, worm their way to the center, then, as it broke up, they would set off again, always in a different direction from the way they had come. If there was no other choice, they would even go backward, retracing their steps. Their progress was slow, but it was all but impossible for any Wormcam observer to trace them for more than a few paces, a strategy so effective, in fact, that Bobby wondered how many other refugees there were here today, moving through the crowds like ghosts. It was obvious that, despite climate collapse and general poverty, London still attracted tourists. People still came here, presumably to visit the art galleries and see the ancient sites and palaces now vacated by England's royals, decanted to a sunnier throne in monarchist Australia. But it was also sadly clear that this was a city that had seen better days. Most of the shops were unfronted bargain bazaars, and there were several empty lots, gaps like teeth missing from an old man's smile. Still, the sidewalks of this thoroughfare, an east-west artery that had long been one of the city's main shopping areas, were crowded with dense, sluggish rivers of humanity, and that made them a good place to hide. But Bobby did not enjoy the press of flesh around him. 4 years after Kate had turned off his implant, he knew he was still too easily startled and too easily repulsed by unwelcome brushes with his fellow humans. He was particularly offended by unwitting contact with the bellies and flabby buttocks of the many middle-aged Japanese here, a nation who seemed to have responded to the worm cam with a mass conversion to nudity.